Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show, special summer fun edition. I am Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host. I am here with an awesome panel of people who are absolutely stellar at entertaining me, because clearly that's what the show is all about, showing up on a Friday morning and entertaining me to kick off the weekend. So thank you. And you've already been entertaining me. This is wonderful. So summer fun edition. What that means is that instead of doing what we have historically done, which is just not do shows in the summer, we are doing shows in the summer. But we are picking a specific topic for each episode, and then we are just talking about that. So we're trying to pick stuff that's fun and interesting. And it's an absolutely brilliant concept. So thank you, Patrice, for personally inventing this, and then trying to be so humble about it that you get Relay FM to start doing your idea a couple years before we start doing it, just so it looks like someone else came up with the idea. I mean, you were stunningly humble. And love my team. Okay. So, Patrice, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's very, very hot and very swampy. It's been all week, but I think today is the worst day, and then it's going to get better. I'm just checking. Well, 92 feels like 102 because we have about 40% humidity. So that's Linz today. But I got my fan and I got my AC behind me that I turned off for the show. So I'm all good. I'm not planning on leaving the house until like another hour or two.
That seems like a good plan. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Friday. Like, I'm happy. So I'm always happy on Friday. And it was a good week. It was really a good week.
Awesome. Awesome. Dave, how are you doing?
I am doing good as well. It's always look forward to Fridays, working from home and, not working right now. It's been a good week. I bought an Eero router for my setup now. I'm very happy.
Awesome.
Been playing with that, and beyond that, it's been a good week.
Yeah, that's great. And welcome to the Eero Club.
Yep.
Yeah. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Jeff. I just got some news this morning that is a little disturbing. Patrice just informed me I'm old. So,
Patrice, thank you for bringing it up, because it was just feeling awkward trying to figure out how we were going to approach the subject. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm going out after the show and buying some Bengay.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
But no, and I too, well, I have been a member of the Eero Club, but I also, like David, bought an upgrade to the Eero Pro 6E. Yeah. So I have yet to install it, to be fair about it, because a few competing priorities, but yeah, it's
right. Like getting your, muscle relaxant, your Bengay, and getting the wheels on your walker lubricated again.
Exactly. I was thinking of putting
wrong.
I was thinking of putting those rollerblade wheels on that you recommended, Jeff, for my office chair.
That
way I can get around faster. Those
would be great.
These are the best things I ever paid for, these wheels.
Aren't they great? Patrice, do you have the rollerblade wheels on your
I do. They're awesome. They're really good. Like, I've recommended them to, like, I have two chairs that have them, and I've recommended them to a lot of friends. They're awesome. Like, I bought a new chair and I ordered right away the new wheels. Like, I checked what the sizes were, and I'm like, okay, I'm like ordering with the new chair, I'm ordering new wheels.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good they are.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yep.
And people give you the funniest looks when you say, you know, you really should upgrade your office chair wheels to the rollerblade wheels. It's like they you know, like Would you explain that, please?
Yeah.
And
Yeah, but once you've had that once, like, there's no going back. I don't know why the chairs don't come with roll update wheels, because they should.
They should. I mean, even like really high end, you buy a Herman Miller office chair, and it comes with crap wheels, just like every other office chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like $1,000 chair with like $5 wheels.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yep. Which actually, I think, brings us into what our topic for today is, which is how to extend the life of your devices. And I'm just going to keep rolling with, see what I did there? With the office chair thing. You want to extend the life of your chair and your back along with it when you're sitting at your desk. Get rid of the crappy wheels that came on your desk chair and buy the replacement desk chair wheels that are rollerblade wheels. And they're not expensive. It's like, I want to say $25 for a set of wheels. And it's like getting a brand new chair.
Yeah. And I will go with that. And that sounds like, you know, a very bold statement, but it is absolutely true. I took a chance on Jeff's recommendation. It's like, I will never go back.
Yeah. It truly changes everything. And I am now going through my Amazon orders to find what I got so that I can share a link in the chat. Oh, here we go.
Beat you to it.
You did. You beat me to it. Thank you. And Bob Beach is asking, how can new wheels improve the ergonomics? So Bob, the first thing is the wheels actually raise the chair a little bit. So depending on the height adjustment abilities of the chair you have, that could be an improvement right there. They roll smoother and easier. So you're not having, so you don't have to fight the chair as much to move the position. Because they're not just the hard plastic wheels, there's actually just enough give in them to make the rolling feel even smoother. And
I mean, that can also be important for, I mean, you're supposed to move while you're sitting a little bit, like be a little bit more dynamic, and that, like, that's easier with them because there's less resistance.
Yes. And I have a glass office mat or chair mat under my chair instead of one of the cheapo plastic ones. So between having the glass mat and those wheels, my chair, which was not cheap, feels still like I got a massive upgrade just by putting these wheels on. And I guess I was off by a little bit on what I said the price was, because they're $36. And I was saying I thought about $25. Still, $36, absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Jeff, I'll add one thing too. And this sounds like you're pathetically lazy, but it just is the way it is. Because the cheaper wheels don't roll as easily, I think you sort of tend to, okay, I'm good enough where I am, instead of maybe pushing back just a little bit, pulling in a little bit to get, you know, the real sweet spot for the ergonomics. Mm-hmm. And because it just, these are, I mean, I don't have a glass mat like Jeff does. I just have a cheap plastic mat. Yeah, but if I were to give myself just a little bit of a shove, I'd go crashing into all the gear behind me, because they roll that easy. It takes the first couple of times, you really have to kind of be careful because you aren't used to any office chair ever.
I rolled into the wall like this does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your
chair, I have a hardwood floor here, and I rolled like into the wall behind me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And actually, I'm on a hardwood floor and using my glass mat, but I got the glass mat initially when I was on a carpeted floor. But yeah, it's amazing just what a difference he's made. Mm-hmm.
But it's not a topic today.
No, that's not our topic today.
I mean, as much as we would like to talk about ergonomics and chairs, and I'm just absolutely recommending that, not the topic today.
Far be it for me to keep us on the rails.
Well, Patrice, you know, that's not quite true, because, you know, this is taking care of probably the most important piece of equipment that you have and making it last longer, and that's you. So
that is true. It fits. Yes, but the topic was we like wanted to talk about the devices and what the chips.
Oh. I mean, not a device.
It's. I hope not.
He has kind of a device.
Chuck, I mean, sometimes I'm a machine. You're a machine. I'm sometimes a tool. So.
All right.
So I'll go first because I came prepared. Actually, I have to grab that. So one of the most important things to keep your devices like working for a long time, especially your Apple devices, is actually iFixit. And like I would say there, but I mean, if you have something else, it's also fine. Have a set of like a repair kit, like a set of screwdrivers and so on, so that you can go into your devices. And even if it's only for maintenance, I mean, I think I talked about on the Mac show like a while ago that I cleaned out basically the fans and all my Macs because they were running hot. They were overheating because the fans were covered in dust. And that is a that is a way how you're gonna eventually like damage your device, because it's designed to protect you from doing that, and it's designed to like throttle down and do all of that. But like the heat is not gonna be like long term, not gonna be good. If the fans aren't working, if the air is not getting everywhere it should be. So I mean, not just for like repairs, but also for maintenance, have a set like this with like everything you need. I have like this little air thingy here, and like a brush and stuff like that. So yeah, and even then, like later on when something happens, I mean, I had this, the old MacBook that I've used before had a broken, it turned out it was a broken flex cable for the trackpad, very common issue. And I wouldn't say, I mean, I've done some repairs, but I wouldn't say I'm an expert in like repairs. But switching out that flex cable with the help of iFixit was super easy. And it cost like $10. Like the flex cable was $10. It cost me maybe half an hour to do it, like following the guide. And now it works just fine. And I mean, other people probably would have either taken it somewhere to have it fixed for a lot of money or thrown it away and said, okay, keyboard and trackpad don't work anymore. And yeah, so having something like this is super important.
I agree.
Good pick.
And I mean, even if you're not going to be doing upgrades and parts replacements, having something, a toolkit where you can do like you said, Patrice, and open up enough so that you can get the dust out from the fans, mm-hmm. Totally worth it. Yep. All right. So since I derailed us right away, I'm going to redeem myself by having an actual thing that you can do to extend the life of your devices. And this is, instead of plugging everything into just a plain old outlet strip, get an uninterrupted power supply and plug your stuff into that. And this is giving you proper surge protection. So your devices that aren't actually going to have always on power are still having electricity that is being protected from surges, or your devices are being protected from the electrical surges. Wow. Add all the words, just the wrong order. And then for the devices that you have where they really need to stay on, then you have the battery component as well. So for me, living in the United States where we have flaky power grids, and actually yesterday, right before the big show, I was wondering if I was going to have to send Patrice a message saying, I don't have power. Well, the power came back on in time. So I was able to be here for the big show yesterday. But I mean, I could have started the show, but it would have been a crapshoot. Would the power have come back on before my battery backups ran out of electricity and then just shut everything down? So I have one of these at my workstation. I'm a big fan of APC. So I have one of their backups at my workstation. So my external drives are connected to it, and my display is connected to it, my external display. So if the power goes out, I can quickly just disconnect all the external drives and turn off the monitor. And now I can just run on my laptop and its battery, because it's not drawing from the battery backup. But I still have everything else that I need running. And there's another one for my network setup. So my cable modem and my Eero and my my network switch, they're all on that battery. So I can have the power go down and continue to do a live show and then have the power come back up. And the only reason anyone would know that something had happened would be that the lights that I have, the studio lights, they would all go out, and the lights behind me would go out because, you know, they're just on the house power.
I added mine to my battery because they're drawing not that much power. So I decided, like, when I'm doing a show, like, I'll just keep them on it. It was also because I didn't have extra outlets. So it was like, okay, I'll just plug everything in.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And I have considered getting a battery just for my studio lights, so that if everything goes out while I'm doing a live show, that I'm not suddenly in the dark. What'll happen is I'll wait till that actually happens, and then I'll end up getting a battery. I've had it happen on audio shows several times where the power goes out, we keep doing the show, power comes back on, and no one has a clue that I've been sitting here without power for 2 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is, because, I mean, nowadays everything is LED. You don't even need a big battery for that. I mean, your Mac and your monitor and whatever, that is a big power draw. But the couple LEDs that you're running, that's not that much.
Yeah, that's not that much.
So a small battery will probably be enough to have it running even for a full show, like an hour and a half or something.
Yeah, and then if you have a lightning strike, everything that's on one of these devices is protected. So
in theory.
In theory, correct. So if you have set everything up correctly, then the battery backup device should take the hit and die and sacrifice itself for all the other devices. And if you get like a good quality one, like APC, and you register it with them, and you have devices that get ruined from an electrical event where the battery backup should have protected you, then they have like a money back thing going on.
The bigger risk is actually not the lightning strike. The bigger risk is like a standard like power outage. Because what can happen is that you have like spikes in the power, like in the frequency and so on. And that can actually, most devices like your Mac and so on will be fine, because they have the power brakes, and they just take that. They don't care. Like a small spike is not going to do anything. But there are devices that don't like that very much when like the power goes out and comes back on, there's a spike. We've had that a long time ago, 15 years ago at our university. They did like a test every beginning of January, where they tested all the systems that, like, when the power goes out, like, is everything working? Like, you know, all the, like, for the data centers, all the, like, the diesel engines and so on. And every year they like cost about, say, $30,000 to $40,000 worth of damage.
Wow.
Because some devices just did not like that very much, and they just died. Like some computers, and they had like a really expensive, one year they had a really expensive like one of those video conferencing systems for like the lectures. Mm-hmm. That died, and I think that alone was like 15K or something. Just did not like that. The power was turned off and then turned back on again. So yeah, be careful. And that's what a battery totally like protects you against, because it buffers that. A battery or a power brick will do you, a good power brick will handle mm-hmm. that without a problem.
There you go. The one that I have all of the peripherals for my my Mac connected to is the one that I dropped a link for in the chat, which is $92.76. That's a pretty cheap insurance policy for your electronics.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
I even have one of these connected to my television and Apple TV, all the electronic devices for the home entertainment center, because people forget about that stuff. And those power surges from a brownout or a blackout that, like you said, can destroy devices. People forget all of that home entertainment stuff is subject to that as well.
Yeah, and that's usually expensive equipment. I mean, sure, your Mac is probably the most expensive device, but I mean, a TV or a projector or something is not that far behind.
Right.
Yeah, it depends on what TV, but you're right.
That's true, yeah.
Those TVs have become almost a disposable item, it seems. So.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have a really big and expensive one, then maybe think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I'll jump in, and I'll admit that maybe I'm stretching the definition of the shows that we're trying to do here, but I just find that the cleaner I can keep my Mac, and I don't mean physically, I mean system-wise, the better. And one of the big places that you end up with files left behind is if you install an application and then delete it, because it has preferences, plist files, there are all kind of things scattered throughout your system that you probably, unless you really know what you're doing, shouldn't be poking around in there. And B, sometimes they're so scattered, and so there's so many of them that you could spend, a day and a half just trying to find them. And of course, if you delete the wrong thing, then you may be screwing up another app or worse. So there are a number of utilities out there that will do this for you, either as part of a package or as a dedicated one. But the program I usually go back to every single time is called App Delete by Reggie Ashworth Software. It's one of those, and it's a pretty simple process. You take the app that you want to delete, you drag it to the App Delete icon, and App Delete runs through your system and locates all the other files associated with that application. And now you have the opportunity to delete everything all at once, or you can delete selectively. So the selective part is good if you think you might have, a corrupted plist file or something like that, because then relaunching the app in question will rebuild it. But at the end of the day, I can't tell you how many people's computers I've looked at, and you dig in a little bit and say, where did all this stuff come from? And you realize that they've been wholesale adding and trying out applications, which we all do, but they aren't deleting them in this nice, clean, safe way. So I think it's a situation where you are maintaining or increasing the life of your machine because it's not going to slow down because of all the junk. So you're not going to feel obligated necessary to buy a new machine because you want it, to be faster. It keeps it feeling new for longer. So,
but Chuck, I want that new machine. No.
Well, yeah, there's that, Patricia. I was going to bring that up with Jeff's, lightning strike stories. Yeah, come on, lightning. I need a new machine. But that's not the way to get it. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, just through every day-to-day use, this is going to make your machine run better, period. So before you just reach over there and delete that application, make sure you have something in place. I think somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Is it Hazel that will do the same thing?
Hazel will do it. Clean My Mac 10 will do, or X will do it.
Yeah.
There are a couple of apps, but I've used AppDelete, and I remember it was probably one of the first apps I actually used.
Yeah.
It's cheap too.
Yeah.
And back when I adopted it, I did some tests because when AppDelete does its thing, it will show you all the apps that it's going to delete, all the files it's going to delete. Mm-hmm. And compared to some of the others at that time, AppDelete seemed to be the most thorough.
Yeah, so, I mean, all of them do it.
But one way or another, at least, mm-hmm. It's going to get at least a percentage, if not every single file. And that's just got to help you.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I mean, that is definitely something that will prolong how you use it. And I mean, honestly, it might free up space and then you don't need maybe a bigger hard drive because... Yeah, you say, I'm running out, but 3/4 of your hard disk is actually just old crap that you haven't deleted, stuff like that. So totally, I mean, I can see that argument.
Yeah.
And
I would add clean my Mac 10 to that, or X. I don't know if it's X or 10, whatever it
is. Well, whatever you want to call it, there you go.
iPhone 10.
Yeah. Yeah,
and okay, let's call it 10.
And that was going to be one of my other picks because I see them almost. I mean, I think Clean My Mac does a great job, but Clean My Mac does so much more.
Mm-hmm.
This right now, I'm just talking about just the applications because I think that's something it's so easy to do. We've all done it. You reach over and just say, I'm not using this anymore, and toss it in the trash. And then it's like, oops, I should not have done that because now I've left stuff in my system.
And if you're using apps that have an uninstaller feature, I mean, it's great, but at the same time, that doesn't actually mean it's completely uninstalling all the components. And I'm looking at you, Adobe. I mean, there's a lot of apps out there that are in the same boat, but I'm pretty sure. And I'm not saying this in a joking way. I'm pretty sure Adobe doesn't even know everything that gets installed for all their
applications. I wanted to say that. I think in Adobe's case, it's not that they maliciously leave stuff behind. They just don't know where the stuff is anymore.
Yeah. And I remember dealing with betas for Creative Suite and having problems where for the betas, you needed to completely uninstall and reinstall. Mm-hmm. And you needed to completely uninstall and reinstall. And so finally, they had to create their own, it was like a command line nuke and pave utility. And you'd run it. And then I could still go through my system and find components that it had missed. And this is something that came directly from Adobe with the explicit purpose of completely removing every element of an Adobe or all Adobe products from your computer, and it couldn't do it.
Nope.
So so don't trust that an uninstaller is actually getting rid of everything for you.
Yeah. But to be fair,
tools like this are great.
Yeah. But to be fair, also AppDelete will have a little bit of a problem because if Adobe or some other app installs something in a really weird place somewhere in the system, the AppDelete might not catch that. That's what the uninstaller might maybe be better. Let's hope at least.
We can live in hope. But
yeah, one way or another. Yeah, one way or the other. Just if you run an uninstaller, you've got a good chance. If you run AppDelete, you've got a good chance. Clean My Mac, you've got a good chance. It's any of those are superior to just taking the application and throwing it in the trash.
Yep.
I find Hazel to do the superb job of it. And catching everything.
That's the cool thing about both Clean My Mac and Hazel. They will actually monitor it, and if they see that you do drag it into do the command delete in Finder, it will tell you, hey, you have just deleted this. Do you also want to delete all these files? And it lists the files, and then you can say, I want to delete them, or no, some of them I want to keep. Maybe I'm just switching out the binary for whatever, a beta or something.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Awesome.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, but Clean My Mac, until we started, Clean My Mac 10, it does so much more. I mean, it removes language files that you don't need from apps, for example. Do you need the Japanese translation for an app if you don't speak Japanese? Probably not. Like it cleans up your RAM. It's like it does a lot of your maintenance on the system.
Yeah, I think that's one we can all definitely agree mm-hmm. on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's on setup, right?
Yep.
I think it still is.
Yes.
Clean the Mac, absolutely.
Yeah.
And right. There we go. All right, clean my Mac and Hazel are in the live chat now.
Hazel from Noodlesoft. Yeah.
Noodlesoft. Noodlesoft, one of the best names.
I'm going to talk about the iPhone, and I'm going to say not necessarily applications or specifics, but to really do a good job of maintaining your iPhone, because you know not everybody are like some of us here, me, that upgrades every year, that really want to do that, because it's an expensive proposition. You're talking $1,100 each time, or if you're on an upgrade program, you know, paying it per month. But a couple of things I'll suggest is specifically on the iPhone, don't skip any app updates and OS updates. A lot of people tend to want to wait and not want to install them, but it's super important that you keep everything up to date, because you want the iPhone to run, you know, smooth, because a lot of times some apps aren't running, and especially apps, if there's apps that they updated it for a reason. If you want to continue to use the old version, it may stop working, as well as slow the phone down, because that app may not be efficient. Doing housekeeping as far as apps go, delete apps you don't use anymore, or maybe even delete apps that you know they aren't being updated, because you know, we talked about this the other day, and about the fact that Apple just cleared out a bunch of abandoned apps that are in the App Store. Well, there are some apps that haven't been touched in probably a year, 2 years sometimes. You know, go back, do an inventory check, make sure that you get rid of apps that you're not either you're not using at all, which then believe me, I'm sure we're all bad at that. I mean, I can go in, I have 200 plus apps on my iPhone, and probably I use about a quarter
15
if that. And then there's been a debate about a case. I still think it's important to have a case. So there's been some chatter about that lately, that what do you need a case for? You get the full luster of your iPhone, but I mean, it's going to get scratched. You're going to have problems when you drop it. I mean, Apple's done a much better job with the newer phones, especially for impact. But yeah, you got to have a case to protect it if you want it.
I mean, and that's the whole thing. I mean, for the longest time, I didn't have a case, and I was very happy with it. But I mean, our topic today is how to prolong the life. And if you want a long life with your phone, and you want to keep it, let's say, as in a working condition as possible, then I think a case and maybe even one of those screen protectors, if you can deal with them. Like I don't like them, but I also sell my phone latest at 2 years, usually every year. Yeah. But if you want to keep it for like 3, 4, 5 years even, then by all means do that. Mm-hmm. It's a worthy investment. I mean, like accidents happen, and I've dropped my phone even in the year that I've had it. At least, I mean, I don't even know how many times I've dropped it just here at home and nothing happened, but I even dropped it out and about. I was just walking and I stumbled and the phone went flying and nothing happened to the phone. I mean, the case is a little bit like it's one of the Apple cases, and the case definitely has some dings and scratches and so on.
Yeah,
but the phone is totally fine, and I think that's the point.
My spec case has lots of scratches, but that's what it's there for.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the point. And I mean, that is even if you buy one every year, that's way cheaper than having to replace the phone, whatever, twice.
Yeah. Especially
at the back. AppleCare or not. Like
the back.
Other
thing too is notorious problems with all that pocket lint in your pocket that gets into the to the lightning jack. That's a very, very common thing. Keep it clean. It's the same thing with the screen. You know, it's the screen. Some people have, it just bothers them. Oh my God, my screen is disgusting. But you know, it gives it some good health. not only with the way it looks, but sometimes hygiene too. You want it to be clean. I still have my eye clear, this old stuff.
Remember
this?
I have a bottle of eye clear too. Yeah. Yes.
And then always me.
and then you have a chamfered edge cloth.
Yeah. Which I never use because
all
I
right. just used it. It came out again.
All right. So do either of you actually use the apple polishing cloth?
No.
It stays right next to me here all the time. So I always have it ready.
Yeah, I never use.
I'll use it right now. Look, it's cleaning.
As you can see, it's even it's still in the packaging. I mean, I've opened the packaging, but I've never actually used it.
I've used it. It's working good. One other thing I'll add is the battery life. That's always been a challenge. And if you want to keep an iPhone for, you know, I was looking back, you know, on my evolution of iPhone chart here, you know, iPhone 8 is going to be the farthest you can go without having with being able to use iOS 16, but there's still going to be people continue to use this iPhone 7 and probably even the 6S, but they are going to be on the older version.
5, 4.
Yeah, if you want to keep using it, 4 might be pushing it, but you go 5 or 6 or 7, you might still be okay. But older OS
for kids,
for kids, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's going to be much cheaper to replace the battery. I think Apple charges something like $89 to replace a battery, depending if they still have the parts. If they make
not anymore, I think.
I think it's
maybe it like 40 price. Or something, 39 like that.
Something
29, like that. 39,
yeah. It's still going to be cheaper than buying a new phone. So
So
have that checked out. Apple's not going to even look at it, especially if it's still under warranty. If you have a newer phone, unless the maximum capacity is at 80% or less. So if it's higher than that, they're going to say, oh, no, you got to fix this and make sure you do that. But always go through and check with the battery. The battery health is a great thing on the iPhone that gives you some really good things, too.
And I mean, if you want to maintain the battery, and unfortunately, Apple is making it really easy these days because they're like, I mean, they have like AI or machine learning in their phones where it just like it learns how you use it and how you charge it, and then it doesn't charge it to 100% until it absolutely has to. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely recommend doing that. I mean, I've never had a problem with that. I mean, sure, like my batteries are relatively new because I said I upgrade almost every year, but still like the longer, like the better you treat your battery, like don't like discharge it to like 1%.
Right.
Which don't always charge it to 100% and leave it plugged in all day. As I said, Apple has gotten really good at managing that, but long-term it's still not a good thing.
No, because I see it all the time. Yeah. Family members, oh, I only got 1% left battery life left, so I better charge it.
All the time. Okay. In some cases, I don't even know how they do it. I'm only charging at night usually. And like my battery never goes down to that level. Like how the hell do they always have only like 5% left on their phones?
They don't pay attention.
Exactly.
I know people that use their iPhone so heavily, and not just like sitting there playing games. Like they're on phone calls and text messages and
watching videos
and you know doing business stuff on their iPhone all day long.
Right.
And they can burn through a battery on a phone in, you know, like 8-10 hours, easy. And I know some of these people who spend most of their time in low power mode on their phone because it's the only way that they can keep their phone running long enough so that they can use it before they get back to where their charger is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, that's a case where either you want one of those battery cases, like the MagSafe cases or the non-MagSafe cases even exist.
Or even external battery for that matter.
Or an external battery pack, or have chargers in like the places, like if you're in your car, like have a charger there and so on, so that you can keep charging. But that's a good point. Like you're right. Some people, like if you're on phone calls all day or you're watching videos all day, stuff like that, or taking photos and videos all day, stuff like that. Yeah, the battery is going. You're going to burn through the battery. That's true. Yeah, but even then, don't get it. Like, don't let it go down to, like I said, 1%.
No, don't do that. The last thing I'm going to mention is make sure you're backing up your iPhone. I know most of us do. iCloud does automatically, but sometimes something gets missed. You may have turned something off. Check the settings. Make sure in iCloud backup it's backing up everything. You got plenty of space. So hoping you're not the one of those people who only have the 5 gigabyte free plan.
But, yeah, pay the what is it, $2.99 a month for for the 200 gigs. That's for most people, I think, enough.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the cheapest data backup insurance policy you can get, and that's worth every penny.
But I mean, I think the most common thing people don't do is that they don't check and make sure in the iCloud backup that everything is turned on. Some people have turned off iMessage, so all your messages are backed up. But then what happens if the phone fails and you iPhone fails and then you want to restore all your texts that you just had? Oh my God, I had that text. I talked to that person like a bit, about 10 days ago. I need to go back and look at that. Well, it's gone.
Mm-hmm. So
make sure you have all the everything backing up. Photos too.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Yep, that's awesome advice, because if you're not making sure all your data is backed up, you're going to lose something important.
And like I said, this is I never say anybody that's not good to have an older iPhone. And that's why the secondary market on older iPhones is very, very doing very well. And there's a lot of them out there. So
True. I don't have a good segue today, so instead I'm just going to say, hey, TSO Hosts is our sponsor, and that's absolutely awesome. We love them because they are being so generous by giving us the bandwidth we need so we can live stream shows every week, and they're giving us the hosting space we need so we have a place for the website and for all the files for the show recording, so you can watch or listen to your favorite episodes at your leisure over and over, which is absolutely wonderful. And when we say we wouldn't be here without them, that's absolutely true, because without their generous support, there's no way we could afford to be able to live stream every week and to have a place for all of the files that that everyone wants to go and watch and listen to. So we really, really appreciate that they're here for us. Now, what they're asking of us, super easy. Just go on social media and thank them for being here, supporting the British Tech Network. That's all they're asking. And it's easy to do. And a little bit of validation for them is a nice thing, because, you know, we live in a weird world right now. So spreading a little bit of love is a good thing. Everyone needs that. So please go do that. Now, if it turns out that you need to buy some domain names, or you need to have some hosting for a website, hit them up and use the discount code BTN20, because they love all of us so much that they're actually giving us a discount code for their services. So you use BTN20 at checkout and you get a nice discount on their hosting and domain purchase services. So thank you to TSO Hosts for being here and supporting us. Now, Patrice, I've been telling people where they can, I haven't. What I've been telling them is that I'm putting links into the live chat. I haven't told them where to find it, because this is clearly a mental block that I have. And would you please take care of this for me?
Of course, Jeff, always. It's super easy to get to our live chat. If you're listening to this live every Friday at 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, also, by the way, Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the Big Show, if you're into the non-Apple tech area. We're also doing some fun shows there, so maybe you should check that out. But if you're listening to this live, or you want in the future going to listen to this live, you can join our live chat, and then you can talk not only to us, but also the other lovely people who are listening. Like, for example, I saw Bob Beach in the chat earlier. And in order to do that, you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com, and then you're in. It's that easy, like nothing to it. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact in your favorite podcast player of choice, maybe at the beach or on a mountain or wherever you are right now. As long as you have cell service, you can, even from where you are, you can still see all the links and all the things we've talked about, like everything that Jeff just posted, and Dave, by the way. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up and you have to select today's date, which is, so today when we're recording this, by the way, not the date that you're listening to this. And that would be the 5th of August, 2022. And there you will see everything we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you. Does anyone have any other tips they want to toss out? Because if not, I'm going to start asking where people can find you.
I have one related to the one in the beginning, and that's iFixit in general. Like we talked about the tool and to repair things and so on, but iFixit is in general a good resource for any device that you have. Yes. I mean, they are even offering like official parts for, what was that? I think it's some Android phone, if I remember correctly.
Official only supplier for the parts. Yeah,
exactly. And you can find like repair manuals and videos and a great community of people that like help each other when it comes to repairs of a lot of different devices, not just Apple devices, like a lot of other devices too. And I think that's, as I said, for the longevity of your devices, that's super important, because I mean, things might break and it might be something really minor, like as I said, the flex cable, or I don't know, a key that falls off a keyboard or something like that, and that might stop you from using it in the future, because a keyboard with a missing key kind of gets difficult to use, and if it's multiple, it might be impossible. And instead of throwing it away, like if you can like just repair it and that's what iFixit is really good for, because it gives you the parts, the tools, and the help. You can get everything from one place.
Yep. Excellent advice.
I have that kit. It's awesome. The toolkit, the same one you have in it.
As I said, the toolkit doesn't have to be for iFixit. There are others. They work fine. Like whatever you have is fine. I mean, that's, I said, I have iFixit, but like you don't have to. But my point is, even if you don't have an iFixit toolkit, it's not required. Like you can go there and see like how whatever your Surface tablet works or can be repaired, or I don't know what else they have. I mean, a lot of Apple devices, but I know they have a lot of other devices too. I would say before you throw something away, if it's an electronic device, maybe have a look. Maybe they have it.
Yeah.
I want to throw a few things in. Yeah. And I don't want to be greedy about it, but I'm going to throw a bunch of things in here real quick, because I think it's important to protect all your Apple devices. And so one link, two link, three link. These are screen protectors for your iPad, iPhone, and Apple Watch. Oh. These are the ones that I bought. They talk about Gorilla Glass. I know they talk about how great all the glass is and all the devices, and it is. But these are super expensive devices, and there's, you know, we've talked endlessly about repairing cracked iPhone screens. If you do something really stupid with your iPhone, this is not going to save you. But if you do something mildly stupid, it might, because these are tempered glass screens that go on your devices. And if something falls, like Patrice just said, something falls on your iPad when it's laying flat, there's a good chance it might crack the screen protector, but it's not going to get down to the screen. Your watch, unfortunately, hangs for most of us at just about the right height for you to bang it into doorknobs all the time.
Yep. And I mean, you said the screens, and Apple talks about Gorilla Glass. I mean, my experience with Apple Watch screens especially is they're not the most hard and like not non-scratch, whatever that is.
No.
Every Apple Watch I've owned, I've scratched within 3 months. I should actually get one of these. That's a good point.
Well, You know, and the thing is, in the early days of screen protectors, you know, it took an act of Congress to get them on right. Mm-hmm. Go on so easily now, and you know, it's so easy to get the bubbles out from mm-hmm. under the screen protector, even on the watch. And okay, you know what? If there's one little bubble, as long as it's not right in the middle of where you typically view it, when the device is on, you're not going to even notice the bubble. You only see the bubble when it's, you know, when it's turned off. So big deal. But the point is that these are easy to apply. They are seamless. They do not affect the function of your device, the touch sensitivity in the least. And they just provide that little bit of extra protection. And it's not that expensive to do that for all your devices. So now the links I put in the show notes are the specific ones that I bought for my devices. So I can tell you, I can recommend them, and therefore I can recommend that brand. I mean, there are a lot of them out there. I can't tell you if there's a significant difference. These are the ones that I have and have worked for me. So, you know, go forth and just spend just that much money and protect those devices that cost that much. Speaking of that much, okay, there's one other tip I want to talk about, and that is for your MacBook Pro or your MacBook or whatever laptop you're using, okay? And that is spend just a little extra money on a decent backpack, okay? Here's why. Every backpack out there has a laptop sleeve, right? All right, and that sleeve goes the whole way down to the bottom. And the only thing that's between that bottom edge of your laptop and the ground is maybe that much plastic or whatever the material of the bottom of the backpack is. So if you set your backpack down hard, you're slamming your very expensive laptop on the floor, on the ground or floor or cement or whatever it is that you're putting it on. Find a backpack that suspends your laptop. In other words, there's a space between the bottom of the slot that your laptop is going into and the bottom. And I've got to find it. I did not prepare that one here, but okay, there
also
you go.
Get one of these.
Yep. The Ogio Renegade is my backpack of choice. And that's one of the big reasons is it has that suspended laptop case. So that when I set my laptop down hard, when I set the backpack down hard, I'm not slamming my laptop on the ground. Yep. So would cost you a little extra money. Absolutely. So, you know, when you go to Best Buy, don't just think, oh, this is a pretty backpack. I like that. Check the functionality of it because you're sticking a whole lot of money in there. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, most of them have not implemented, including some of my favorites, that same thing for an iPad. So check and see where your iPad could or would go to protect it too. But the laptop is the big one because, you know, even if you're buying the inexpensive M1s, that's still a chunk of money that you don't want to just slam down on concrete.
Yep.
Well, as someone who twice and both times for work machines, fortunately, dropped them on the floor. Like I was at the hotel and I put it on my suitcase and it just fell down. Thank God I had one of these on concrete, or actually not even concrete, like whatever that was, like granite or something, like really hard floor. Mm-hmm. I think both of them had small dings, but like they would have been completely smashed if it hadn't been for like a good protective like sleeve and a bag around it. A good bag that protects.
Yeah, it's just cheap insurance, really. Yeah. And if you get the right ones, they actually can add a whole lot of functionality to everything else. But that's a whole nother show. This right now, we're just talking about protecting and enhancing the life of your devices.
That sounds like something we should talk about.
It does. I bet it's going on the list right now.
Yes.
Chuck's advice is excellent. And I'm assuming that means that some people are looking at their computer bags right now and realizing that there is no protection on the bottom. And and if you want to go and buy a new bag, great. Get a bag that protects your laptop better. If you're not ready or able to get a new bag, get dense foam sheets. And then you cut strips that fit into the bottom of your bag, put that down in there, and now you have done your own upgrade.
Yeah, or get, I mean, that's why I got this, like this sleeve I bought specifically because it has special protection of the corners, because those are usually the most sensitive areas, like the flat sides, like the forces will distribute a little bit, but usually it falls on a corner. And most, like most sleeves even don't protect all that well. And this one was especially recommended for that. And you can feel it, like it's extra padding and extra support on the corner. And it wasn't that expensive. And it's nice and pink. So
yeah,
I don't remember. I will look it up. I'll find the link in a second.
Yeah. And Jeff's advice is spot on, because that's sort of a do-it-yourself little suspension system. The only caution I would give there is make sure you do just a little measuring. Because if you are someone like me who likes the really big laptops, the depth of your bag may not allow you to put as much foam padding in there as you would like.
Yep, so, good point.
That's a good point.
It's a small issue, but you know it could sabotage what you're trying to accomplish.
It could become a big issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I'm protected from above, but now my laptop can fly out the top, so that's not a good thing.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so I know we didn't get to all the tips that I have, and I'm betting we didn't get to all the tips that all of you have. So this may be a topic we need to revisit at some point. Yes, but until then, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the Mac Show every Friday, also on the Big Show every Thursday. Everything I'm doing, all the like social media links and like projects and podcasts, and if you want to buy me a coffee, all of that you can find on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really interesting people talk about food related stories and memories, my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch by OS at intouchbyos.com. You can find me on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/intouchbyos. Here on Tuesday nights on Mac Voices Live with the gang, and I'm also on Twitter at DaveG65.
Awesome. And Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you will find everything. As David mentioned, we do Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. We would love to have you join us in the chat room on YouTube at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, JGamut on both, youtube.com/JGamut for sometimes videos, and Tuesdays with Chuck and Dave on Mac Voices Live, Thursdays with Dave and sometimes Chuck on In Touch with iOS, and then the Big Show and here on the Mac Show, and then also on the Context Machine, because Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up again. And I think that's enough places to find me for today. Hey, thank you to the three of you for being so awesome and having amazing ideas, and for keeping me entertained this morning. You are all absolutely awesome. Thank you to everyone that's watching or listening live. We are so glad that you were here with us. Love all of you. And if you've been participating in the live chat, hey, thanks for being there too. For everyone that watches or listens later, thank you for being part of the BTN family. You are all absolutely awesome. A thank you to Muller for herding enough kittens every week so that we have people available for each show. And hey, thank you to all of you that have been sending in money to keep the Daily News Show running. Just want to let you know that there's been a problem where PayPal has done the thing where they've stopped processing some payments. So go check and make sure that you're set up to actually still send money in, because most of that is dried up. And if we don't get that money coming back in, this is now the last month of the Daily News Show. So Check that out. Make sure that that you're still set up so that we can keep the show going past August. Hey, check out the photo show because it's a lot of fun. And even if you're not a photographer, you're going to enjoy it and learn something that that'll make at least your iPhone photographs look better. And another thank you to TSO Hosts for being our sponsor. Give them some online love. And don't forget to tune in next Thursday for the big show. Come back again on Friday for the Mac show. Everyone have an awesome weekend, and we will see you next week.
Did you even mention where people can find you?
Yes, I did. I had to think about it. Yes, yes, I did.
We have your back, Jeff.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You are all awesome. If we were together, I'd give you all big hugs right now.